Chapter 4, which continues a tale of true love, and closes with the return of Jesus Christ. Quote, "He's a man, he's just a man, he is not a king, he is just the same as anyone I know." Tim Rice, from the musical JC Superstar, words spoken by Judas Iscariot. The narrator again begins this chapter. "O gentle Athena, less gentle Aphrodite, can you not come to the aid of Mahogany as you would your beloved captain? Why must some men struggle without success, whilst others succeed without struggle?" As Harvey napped in the cathedral, Mahogany continued his search. His task was difficult, to say the least. He proposed to find a woman whose dark eyes he had seen for only an instant, and he proposed to find her in a city where dark eyes flashed from every corner. The fact that it was Holy Week, which swelled the city's population to twice its normal size, did nothing to improve his chances. He was like a single drop of water searching for another drop in the middle of an ocean. In preparation for the evening processions, the streets had been closed to traffic, and people had begun to line the buildings, reserving a place from which to watch the religious spectacle. Mahogany had not been in Spain before, and was unprepared for the sight of enormous gilded floats, each one carried on the shoulders of 20 youths, that started to parade at 6 in the afternoon and continued until sunrise. When the processions began, the onlookers, not wanting to miss any of the pasos, with their kneeling Christs, praying Christs, crucified Christs, and myriad Virgin Marys, attempted to rush from place to place. Mahogany sensed the futility of so much rushing about, and staked out a place at the busiest crossroads he could find. There, for 6 hours, he looked into the passing faces for the eyes that would electrify his soul. Amazingly, "Less amazing, dear Aphrodite, with the help of your guiding hand," he found them. She was crossing toward him, arm in arm with two other women. He stepped in front of her. "Hi," he said. "I've been looking for you." The woman, though surprised by the advance, recognized Mahogany as the strange American she had seen from the window of her bus. "Lo siento," she said, "no hablo inglés." The four moved off to the side, and Mahogany continued. "My name is Mahogany. What's yours?"
"Mahogany," she said with a smile. "Yo soy Beatriz."
"Beatrice," said Mahogany.
"Mahogany," said Beatrice.
Beatrice, said Mahogany, fumbling to think of even one Spanish word. What was that verse Harvey had recited? What was the poet's name? Mahogany couldn't remember, and Beatrice smiled and began to move away.
"Golondrina," said Mahogany,
and she stopped.
"Golondrina?"
"Alfonso Becker," Mahogany replied.
"Ah, Gustavo Adolfo Becker. ¿Te gusta la poesía de Becker?"
"Becker, Becker, sí, sí," Mahogany nodded. "Golondrina's no Berberin. Yo, Mahogany, Becker." Beatrice laughed, and a ray of light flashed from her eyes and destroyed Mahogany anew. She motioned that she had to leave with her friends, but that she, pointing to herself, and he, pointing to him, could meet. She wrapped her middle finger around her index finger, at La Giralda.
"La Giralda?"
said Mahogany, and Beatrice pointed to the ancient minaret looming in the distance.
"Ah, the tower, when?"
he asked, pointing to his watch.
"A las dos,"
she said, holding up two fingers. Just then a voice cried out,
"Vive el Cristo! Vive el Cristo! El Cristo vive!"
The mob pushed forward, separating Beatrice from Mahogany. He looked back, hoping to catch a last glimpse of her eyes, but saw only the back of her head and the long black hair that played on her shoulders. Harvey was still asleep in the church. At first, he did not dream. His mind enjoyed a refreshing sensation of emptiness that few minds ever enjoy. Then strange voices began to interrupt his slumber. He heard laughing. He imagined he was being tied to a cross. The cross was raised and set amid a garden of small candles and ornaments. He imagined a crown of thorns being placed on his head, and he dreamt he could taste the blood that ran down over his eyes and into his mouth. He felt the garden moving, the candles dancing as if caught by a breeze, and he heard voices crying in ecstasy. Startled, he opened his eyes. What Harvey saw was no less incredible than what he had dreamed. He was indeed tied to a cross, and the cross was indeed in a garden of candles, and the voices of thousands were indeed rising around him. A mischievous altar boy, it seems, had found the captain dozing in the cathedral and had bound him to a cross, which he substituted for the one on the church's float. Harvey had not awakened until the float was being carried through the streets. It was as if he were flying, soaring above the white, upturned, adoring eyes of mortals that fell back to gaze on him. He struggled to get free. "He moved!" cried a voice from the crowd. "Yes, yes, he moved!" cried another. Suddenly everyone was screaming and pointing. Some fled in fear, while others threw themselves at the foot of the float. The men carrying the structure dropped it and brusquely scrambled away. Then the captain spoke, saying what Christ himself, had he been granted but a little more free will, might well have said. "For the love of Jesus Christ, cut me off this goddamned tree!" A hush fell on the crowd, and a lady screamed, "Cut him down!" A boy leapt to the float and released the cords that bound his hands and feet. Rubbing his wrists where his flesh had been cut, Harvey stepped down and collapsed in the street. 2 hours on the cross had damaged his circulation, and the boy who had freed him had to help him up. Then Harvey fell again. An old woman lent a hand, but crumbled with him as he fell a third time. Finally, regaining his strength, Harvey rose of his own accord. The crowd circled him at a distance of 14 feet, and a bird shrieked from La Giralda. "Are you the Christ?" a man asked. "I am everyone," said Harvey, "and no one." "Do you know me?" asked another. "As well as you know yourself." "What is my name?" asked another. "You," said Harvey, "are Don Diego de Torquemada." "He's right, he's right," the man cried. A murmur washed over the crowd, and more questions came. "Prove that God exists." "Prove," said Harvey, "that he does not." "Are you holy?" asked the child. "As holy as you in your heart." "Is there only one God?" asked another. "Am I," said Harvey, "only one man?" A student stepped forward. "If God is good, how can there be so much evil?" "If God were evil," said Harvey, "how could there be so much good?" "Why did you leave us, and why have you returned?" "It was you who left me," said Harvey, "and now you have returned." "What is the best path?" asked another. "The path," said Harvey, "that has brought you here."
"How many angels can fit on the head of a pin?"
"Only the French can say," Harvey chuckled.
"You stink," yelled a Frenchman, tossing a bottle toward the float. An old lady standing next to him punched the man in the throat and bit his knee. "God is Spanish," she cried.
"God is French," he countered.
"God is German," said another.
Others joined in, and the once harmonious crowd began to tear each other limb from limb. Then a breeze blew out the candles, and a mysterious cloud descended on the street. Mahogany, out of breath, emerged from the confusion, grabbed the captain, and pulled him away. With the mob close behind, and without time to return to their ship, they rushed to the train station and hopped onto the first car they found. The frenzied crowd reached the platform just as they pulled away. Harvey settled himself comfortably in a corner and closed his eyes. Mahogany sighed and looked out the window. He could see the full moon climbing over La Giralda as they left the city, and Mahogany glanced at his watch. It was 2:03. Pero aquellas que el vuelo refrenaban tu hermosura y mi dicha al contemplar, aquellas que aprendieron nuestros nombres, esas no volverán. Mahogany looked at Harvey, hoping to have impressed him with the verse he had suddenly, astonishingly remembered. But the captain was asleep, his countenance reflecting a deep tranquillity, undisturbed by the crimson drops that fell from his crown of thorns.